Welcome to the Chronicle Headlines for May 5th. I'm your host, John McGowan. And for campus news this week, we have a special guest in the studio with us today to talk about a recent story for the DEI issue. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Zoe Dukakis. I'm a staff writer at the Columbia Chronicle.
And what is the story?
So this story was a feature profile on the new club TransFam at Columbia. So this semester, we welcomed a new club called TransFam for transgender and gender nonconforming Columbia students. They've had about like 3-4 meetings so far, very new and up and coming club.
Yeah, there was a quote from a junior animation major, June G, who said,
I was actually thought there was one, and it turns out there wasn't, but I was kind of like keeping an eye out, like, oh, maybe there is one, because you want people who understand what you're going through.
I'm really surprised that there wasn't a trans club before this.
Yeah, so apparently there was, before the pandemic, not necessarily a club, but sort of a group associated with the DEI office at Columbia. Mm-hmm. And what I was told by the members of the club, that the club just kind of fizzled out once the people that were running it graduated, and then the pandemic happened, and then it just kind of never started up again. So there was a space beforehand for trans students, but there wasn't when the club was created. So it was in a response to that lack of space that was specifically for trans and gender nonconforming students.
Right. And what do the TransFam do at their meetings?
So there's a lot of things. I mean, one of the main things that the club was kind of based off of was they wanted to share resources with each other. It can be hard to find resources for transitioning or, you know, gender identity in general, whether that's resources as complex as, clinics that you can go to, doctors that will help you, or as simple as where to find clothes, nonprofits that will help you. And so it started off with that. And then it's kind of expanded into a space for people to really make friends that can understand them. They have a Discord page that has like over like 40 people on it that's very active. But then they also meet in person once a week on Thursdays, and they will either just talk about the trans experience and gender non-binary experience, or they'll watch a movie that they all want to watch. Or recently they had a trans filmmaker come in, show their film, and then do a Q&A after. So, I mean, just like any other club, finding out week by week what they're going to do and encouraging community.
Right, totally, which is so important to have just for like, you know, any specific part of the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of schools have like a gay straight alliance, but mm-hmm. I'm just surprised that the original TransFam like fizzled out or whatever.
Yeah, and that there really isn't too many like that I've noticed LGBTQ plus groups that are like promoting themselves or that I see often around mm-hmm. campus. Yeah, and I think that students are surprised because Columbia does have a very big LGBTQ population. It's something like 4 out of 10 students identify as LGBTQ+. So creating those spaces, I think, is like on everyone's agenda now.
Totally. I'm glad we're getting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you feel is important to add?
Just that if you're interested, check out TransFam. They have an Instagram. And yeah, you can even just join their Discord if you're not interested in going in person to, you know, find community and get resources.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on, Zoe.
Thanks for having me.
So that was just one story from our recently released print issue, which was a deep dive into diversity, equity, and inclusion. Other headlines you'll find in the issue include graduating students are sharing how COVID impacted them during their time in college, faculty retention is declining at Columbia, especially among instructors of color, textbooks and other course costs cause financial fatigue for students, the COVID task force is planning for a pre-pandemic structured return for the fall semester, and the campus student veterans group reforms for the first time since the pandemic. For the first time since 2019, members of Columbia's Latino Alliance, the Student Programming Board, and students met in person at the Conaway Center to celebrate Caribbean culture for this year's annual Fuego Fest. The night consisted of poetry readings, art displays, musical performances, dancing, tropical decor, a photo booth, a DJ, and an overall recognition of Caribbean culture. Traditional Puerto Rican food such as empanadas, plantains, beef stew, and rice was catered from G Burritos y Mas. Sol Ruby, a junior music major who opened the fest with a music performance, said she was happy with how it all turned out.
No, my heart feels so full right now. Like, I've gotten so many compliments, and originally I was really nervous prior to this. Like, I was telling all my friends, like, I'm freaking out. I'm so, like, nervous and scared. But I'm so happy I did it, because originally I wasn't going to. But I'm so happy. Like, I don't even know what else to tell you.
The college has promoted 4 faculty members to full professor for 2023. The recipients include Sebastian Hoitz, professor and chair of the music department, Ilya Levinson, professor in the music department, Louise Nasser, professor in the science and mathematics department, and Jackie Spinner, professor in the communication department. The college will suspend all remaining COVID-19 restrictions effective May 12, 2023, the last day of the semester and the start of Manifest. In an email sent to the Columbia community on Monday, President and CEO Quan Woo Kim wrote that the end of the restrictions is consistent with the expiration of federal and state COVID-19 emergency provisions on May 11th. Curtis Lawrence, an associate journalism professor and the communication department's only remaining Black faculty member, is leaving the college after nearly 20 years teaching full-time. Lawrence, a former graduate program director in the department and a fellow on the college's anti-racism transformation team, will become the senior editor of investigations with Black Club Chicago, a local media outlet he said has strong Columbia connection. Elizabeth Davis Berg will be the next chair of the Science and Mathematics Department. At Columbia, Davis Berg teaches biology and is president of the American Microscopical Society. Her research includes works in biodiversity, ecology, and in the conservation of snails. Davis Berg has a bachelor's degree in biology from the University of Chicago and holds a doctorate in ecology and evolutionary biology from the University of Kansas. Professor Wenhua Zhao and Associate Professor Eric Scholl, both of the Cinema and Television Arts Department, have been appointed interim co-chairs of CTVA. The email announcement comes nearly 2 months after the Chronicle reported that the current chair of the CTVA department, Thelma Vicroy, will step down from the role in August when her contract ends. Their appointment fills one of the college's many open leadership positions. 2 Indigenous artists visited Columbia in events that were part of Columbia's new series, Listening to Indigenous Voices, hosted by the English and Creative Writing Department. New York Times bestselling author Therese Mailhot read from her memoir, Heartberries, on signed copies on Thursday, April 20th at the Student Center. On Friday, April 21st, multimedia visual artist Deborah Yeba Pepin spoke about her work with the Field Museum to create Native American exhibits that accurately portrayed the culture. The goal of the events is to increase airtime of Native American people in the school, said Gian Petroli, acting chair of the English and Creative Writing Department. And for Metro News this week, I have a special guest in the studio with me to talk about a story they wrote for our recent DEI issue. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Sierra Lamott, and I wrote the story about Kenara Johnson inspiring youth of color through coaching and motivation.
Sierra Lamott, staff reporter at the Chronicle, correct?
Yep, multimedia reporter.
Multimedia reporter, gotcha. What is this story? Tell me about it.
So basically, Mr. Johnson is a security officer at my high school, Gwendolyn Brooks College Prep, on the south side in Roseland on 111th and King Drive. And he is also the school's varsity softball coach. And I just wanted to spotlight him because he is a gunshot victim. And he survived being shot and having his arm amputated due to the injuries. And I just thought he was a motivational person, an inspirational person, and he deserved to be spotlighted.
Mm-hmm. And so you said you actually went to that high school?
Yes, all 4 years.
Were you on the softball team?
I was not, but I had friends who were.
Gotcha. And so what would you say that the sort of attitude is there, having a coach, you know, with disabilities?
I feel like it just shows that regardless of what your physical abilities are, if you have a good mentality, there's pretty much nothing that you can't do. And it shows what it's going to be like in the real world, because in the real world, there are people with disabilities, there are people who are amputees, there are gunshot survivors, and it's important to see those things early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got that from the article, too. It seems like he has, like, an incredibly positive attitude about it. So is everybody else. Yeah, I don't know. What was it like? Did you have much interaction with him when you went to school there?
I would see him every day when I was coming in because, like I said, he was one of the security guards, and he was there when we would come in and go through the metal detectors. So I would see him and speak every day, but we weren't really close. But when I graduated, I added him on Facebook, and we kept in contact that way. And I thought he would be a perfect person to spotlight and write a feel-good story about.
Totally, totally. Yeah, well, that's about all I had. Is there anything else that you feel is important to add for the story?
I just wanted to emphasize the point of having a good mentality and looking at things from a better perspective, because there are people out here with struggles that are far greater than ours, and if they can find ways to be happy and have a prosperous life, then I feel like everybody else can too.
Agree 100%. Thank you so much for coming on, Sarah.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
In arts and culture this week, in collaboration with Chicagoland Pig Rescue, Tattoo Parlor Tattoo Avenue held a flash event to fundraise for CPR's medical bills, food, and shelter on Sunday, April 30th, at their shop on North Lincoln Avenue. The event featured work from tattoo artists Lindsay Johnson, Fernan Black, Vanessa Vargas, and Stephen Kane. Founder April Noga, executive director of CPR, started the organization in 2020 after realizing Chicago lacked a pig community to create safe havens for pigs. Through the rescue, though the rescue is based in Chicago, Noga has expanded her rescue efforts throughout the Midwest and also works cases from Maine, Florida, and Iowa. To this date, CPR has saved 238 pigs. An opinion this week from the editorial board: stop commenting on other people's bodies. In a letter to the editor from Stephen H. Corey, core committee working on plans to provide students with great choices for gen ed requirements. And an editor's note from Olivia Cohen: we've come a long way, but we still have far to go. For more details on these stories and more, check out columbiachronicle.com at any time. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter at columbiachronicle.com/newsletter. For upcoming events this week on Saturday, check out the One Stop Art Fair at 1801 South Indiana Ave. On Tuesday, if you're graduating, head to the Makerspace to decorate your grad cap. On Thursday marks the beginning of Manifest, heading to Friday, and followed by the commencement ceremonies on Saturday and Sunday. For more details on these and other events, go to Columbia's Engage app or the Engage portal on columb.edu. That's all for this week. Be sure to read the full stories at columbiachronicle.com, and make sure to grab a copy of our recent print issue. Thanks so much for listening.